the final week of the high school football season, and what a better way to start the show on the road than with a Hall of Famer at every level you can play. Not many people can say that. Eric Dickerson will be inducted in May of the Texas High School Football Hall of Fame. He's already part of the College and Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Eric Dickerson from Sealy, Texas, of course, the Sealy Tigers in 1978, won it all. At Floyd Casey joins us on ESPN Central Texas. Eric, what does, and this is something that's a long time coming, but what does it do to you? What does it mean to you? You've been a part of all these honors, but what does this one mean, the state of Texas and high school football?
Well, to me, it's no better football than in the state of Texas, and to be inducted to the Texas High School Football Hall of Fame means a lot because that's where I started my football career. In the state of Texas, I always brag about the best athletes come out of Texas, the best football players come out of Texas. No other state, but I live in California. They don't want to hear it, but I always say it's true. But it means a lot for me to be inducted to the Hall of Fame and High School Football Hall of Fame in my home state.
Does it mean any more to you as you've gotten older and more separated from what was nearly now 40 years ago? It's hard to imagine that. Does it mean more now as you've gotten older, where you could even appreciate it even more?
Well, I think it means a lot more. Things always mean more when you get older and you're away from it. Especially now since I have kids. I have a son that's 7. He started playing flag football. He said, "I want to play football like my dad." Even though I don't want him to, but he does. He wants to play. But yeah, of course, it means more. You know, when you step away from something and you're away from it for a while.
Eric, you've played on every kind of stage imaginable, but when you have to play big-time high school football as a young kid, I mean, you know, you're 14, 15, 16 years old, was it an easier transition for you to jump into college and to jump into the NFL because you already had pressure games under your belt, maybe more so than the other guys on your team?
Man, that's a great question. I've never been asked that question before. Sometimes I'd say yes and no. I mean, I remember I signed my first autograph when I was in junior high school. So it's funny that people, you know, take football so seriously in the state of Texas. And, you know, it's a big stage in Texas. You play in front of a lot of people. We played at Waco Stadium in Waco, Texas, for the state championship game. It's only 2,000 people in my hometown, but I think it was about 20,000 people at that game. So, and for a high school kid, that's big. For sure.
You did play at Floyd Casey. It's no longer in existence because they tore it down 5 years ago, and now they have the brand-new stadium on 35 at Baylor McLean Stadium. That night, you beat Sealy, you beat Wiley 42-0. I saw you in the semifinals in Austin at Memorial Stadium. You played Randolph, which was my alma mater.
Yeah,
you can laugh at it because you beat the hell out of us. But at the same time, you guys just rolled through the season. When did you know that team? Was it the year before? Was it during August? When did you know that team could be extra special?
You know, believe it or not, go back to when we were in seventh grade. That team, seventh and eighth grade year, we went undefeated. And we've always figured that we'd get a state championship from that team. Even the town said that was a team to beat, you know, when we got older. We thought we could point it out junior year. We didn't. And my senior year is that when, you know, that team came together. The same team, we were 7th, 8th grade kids, and that was our state championship team.
Did you enjoy being the guy who kind of put Sealy on the map with everything that was going on, especially your junior and senior years?
Yeah, I mean, I never think about that. It's funny, people say it all the time, you know, to me, and, you know, even in California, they say, yes, sir, you put that little town on the map. You know, being a Texan, it's not about that for me. You know, I'm from a small town, and I still have that small town mentality, even though I live in Southern California. It was an honor for me to put my hometown on the map, and hopefully in a good way. We became a powerhouse even later. I mean, we were known for football. I think they won four state championships in a row. And Sealy went to the fifth and lost it. But, you know, it's just great to be from Texas. You know, I still brag about my home state. Like I said, I still have Texas driver's license. You know, I live in Southern California. So, you know, I live in Southern California. I'm a Texan.
2,642 yards rushing your senior year in that 16-0 team that beat Wiley in the state title. Did you, in your opinion, you hear about this, there's tragedies that happen in cities, and sometimes there could be anything that's racism or cities that could be split. Do you feel like high school football in the run you made at Sealy brought a town together that otherwise might not have been one?
Most definitely. You know, when you play for a high school, back in those days, for sure, you know, color was a big thing. But we know we all kind of knew each other. You know, the kids, it wasn't even about the kids. It was about the adults. You know, I always believe this. It's adults that bring in the negativity, the racism. It's like if you see two little kids playing, you know, they could be 7, 8 years old. They don't care what color you are. They just play. But parents teach them that. And that year, you know, in our state championship, you know, we were just a bunch of kids. We all liked each other. You know, we all knew each other. It brought our town close together because, you know, you were one color. It was black and gold. It wasn't black. It wasn't white. It was black and gold.
To be successful, I you know, we've discussed this. We've had a topic on this, Eric, that how many athletes were great, I'm saying great, at all three levels. Earl Campbell's one of those names. Of course, you know the great legacy of Earl Campbell, and there are others as well. But to be able to be at that elite level in every Hall of Fame when it becomes official in May, is that also just kind of like cap it off for you that all right, all three of them, I was good, and now I'm. I guess your legacy and immortality.
Well, you know, I'm in the High School Football Hall of Fame. I'm not in College Hall of Fame. People think I am, but I'm not. I'm not in College Hall of Fame.
Okay.
No, I'm not in College Hall of Fame yet. Never made it there yet. Pro Football Hall of Fame for sure. Even though I know I'm not in College Hall of Fame, it's through the SMU stuff. I mean, that's what that has to do with that. It's a joke, but that's okay. It's just not about that. I know how great our football team is, and I know. You know, I hate to say the word great, but I was a damn good college football player, and I still hold the Southwest Conference record for rushing, and I broke my friend Earl Campbell's record, so I hold that. But you know, it's hard at each level. I mean, you get to high school, you know, when you get to be like a senior, a freshman to a junior, you know, it gets a little bit tougher, and then you go to college. I'm in Dallas right now, going to SMU homecoming tomorrow. And I was telling one of the young players, I said, let me tell you something. I said, you know, take your time. He's a sophomore. And he wants to play. He wants to start. I said, just take your time because as time goes, you'll get better and better. I said, when I look at my sophomore year when I was in college, my freshman year, I thought I was ready to play. I really wasn't. I can say it now. I can say it even before then. I thought I was, but I wasn't. My sophomore year, I was good, but I thought I was great, and I really wasn't. My junior year, I was really good, but my senior year, and it's funny, I can look at film. I can see myself as a senior. And I don't even have to, I just see my where I'm running. I say, I'm a senior. That's how, you know, I can tell. I ran with more authority. I was like a man playing with kids. That's how I felt. I said, no one is a better athlete than me out here. When I got to the pros, at times I felt the same way. I felt like these are men, but I said, the God-given talents I have is just so superior than anyone's else. And it's not bragging. It was just a fact, you know, just that I just felt that I was faster. I was bigger, you know, as a running back, being big, 6'3", 225, gave me that edge, and I could cut, you know, and so it was just, it's a blessing to be able to be, I say, good at all three levels.
You mentioned SMU, and obviously they've had a resurgence. This is not like just this year, what June Jones did to set it up for Chad Morris, who's now gone to Arkansas, and now what's happening with Sonny Dykes. How enjoyable, despite the loss to Memphis, how enjoyable has their resurgence been to those who are a part of their history?
Oh, you just don't know. I mean, it's such a great thing. I mean, it makes me so proud. I mean, it's so disheartening when we're losing for all those years. I just told the AD a story. I said, I won't forget in 1980, we go down to the University of Texas. They were ranked number 2 in the nation. I think we ranked 20th. And we knew we could beat them. We knew we were a bunch of sophomores and freshmen and seniors. And they were ranked number 2 in the nation. We were, like I said, I think we were ranked 20th. We're going out, we beat them 20-6. And I'll never forget, after the game, a bunch of the old alumni was coming in the locker room, some on walkers and wheelchairs, and they were crying. They were saying, I've been waiting 30 years to see this day. I never thought I'd ever live to see it again. And I won't forget, I told my best friend, we're still best friends, Charles Drake, he's my fullback. I said, man, I hope that's never us. And I just said it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it's been about 30 years since I've seen the day where we're like 8-1 or, you know, just to where I can say I'm really proud of my university, the way they're playing football. And it makes me proud. It really does. I think it makes all of us proud. It's because about 20, 30 guys that came this weekend for homecoming.
you have such a unique running style, and every time I see someone or we see someone who runs like you, I mean, it's the signature Eric Dickerson style, but it was straight up, which a lot of times coaches want you to run low to the ground. Did a coach ever try to change what you did, or because you were such a great athlete, they just said, I'm not messing with this?
They always tried to change it. When I ran track, they tried to change it. I changed it to football just in high school, you know. Even in college, they would, you're running too high. I'm like, this is how I run. I mean, this is I couldn't be something I wasn't. I felt comfortable doing that. And the thing is people always thought I ran high. All the time I ran high is when I got in the open field because I was so tall. It looked like I was running high because then I had big pads on. But I was at a lower angle, you know, for my height. But it wasn't until I got in the open field. Then that's when the track came out of me. I was, you know, just stood up and just ran upright.
And didn't the Hall of Famer, the late, great Tom Landry, even mention that prior to the draft?
Yes, he did. He's right, the great Tom Landry, he did. Matter of fact, when I got drafted by the Rams, he told John Robinson, he said, I'm not sure about that guy. I'm not sure, you know, that he's going to make it. Because the Cowboys, you know, they made a comment they wouldn't draft me because I ran too high. You know, I couldn't run inside because I ran too high. And we scrimmaged them in L.A. And just a scrimmage. It was just a scrimmage. And I was so nervous. I mean, you know, my first, you know, time, you know, getting a scrimmage, another team. And I couldn't remember the plays. I forgot the play. They would call a play. I'm like, what do I do? And I told the quarterback, I said, man, I got to go to the sideline. So I went to the sideline, and my coach said, Eric, just settle down. And he started calling plays. My favorite play, 47 gap. He said, what do you do? I said, I have no clue. I didn't know. He said, think about it. Just relax. So I started relaxing, and then finally said, okay, now go back in. So I went back in, and I had a really good game against the Cowboys. And after the game, he told John Robinson, he said, man, I think he's going to be all right. So every time I played Dallas, I wanted to speak it to him.
Yeah, you did in the playoff game. I know you did it before, but there was a playoff game, didn't you guys? That almost shut them out or something.
I had 248 and 3 touchdowns. Yeah, I forgot that game. I've never forgotten that game still.
You mentioned SMU, and you mentioned the College Football Hall of Fame and all of what may be going on and what happened with SMU in the 70s that led to the death penalty. Eric, you now see what athletes are getting and now what they might be getting here very soon with the likeness and whether the NCAA is just saying that to calm the waters or not. What are your thoughts now about what athletes get compared to what you were able to get?
Well, I'm going to say this much here. First of all, I think the NCAA are the biggest criminals in sports, even bigger than the NFL. I think they're criminal because they support these kids for years, and they've made all this money out. The president, he makes $2 to $3 million a year. Everybody gets paid except the athletes. And how do they making the money off the back of these athletes? They sell their jerseys, they sell their likenesses, and they get nothing out. I just thought that was wrong. You know, we deal with everyone else was doing. No one back in that time was not doing. Every big school, Texas, A&M, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Alabama, you name them all, they were doing it. And I just thought it was unfair that they target us because, you know, we were the smaller school to give a death penalty. They would have never given a death penalty to a University of Texas or Alabama. I said this last week. I said, you have a school like Penn State that you have coaches raping young boys, and they don't get the death penalty. That just goes to show they'll put the money over anything. So I just feel like that, you know, I just hate the NCAA. I have to say it, I hate the NCAA. I don't even like what they stand for. They don't need the NCAA. You know, they're criminals. They're like the mafia.
You mentioned Penn State. Down here, we are the flagship of Baylor. They have been through their own scandal. They're trying to come out from it. Like SMU, they've had an unbelievable year, 8-0. They play TCU tomorrow morning at Amon Carter Stadium. When you see a program come out of a dark time and start to win, what does that say to you, a player that now has seen it all at every level?
You know, it's a testament to the program also because, you know, it's hard. I mean, it really is hard. I mean, look, we're still under that cloud, you know, of scrutiny of paying players. I mean, they still talk about it. I mean, you know, like really, like it was criminal, and it's the crazy part is everyone was doing it, and they knew everyone was doing it. But I, you know, you have to give the school credit for changing of the guard. You know, having a new attitude about, you know, how they, you know, I guess right now with the NCAA, NCAA is involved, taking care of players, doing somewhat of the right thing. You know, now Penn State. that's a whole different issue. You know, they've come out, they've come out, and you know, Penn State's always had a prideful program, you know, even though they still they gave them our national championship. I still say that. I had an argument with a guy yesterday about that. But anyway, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
Do you ever miss Monday Night Football, being a broadcaster, doing all that?
Oh, no, not at all. Matter of fact, I work for Fox. I do FS1 with Skip and Shannon, Undisputed. The Monday Night Football gig, no, I wasn't good at that. I wasn't good at sidelines. I was horrible at it.
Eric, you know what? It doesn't always transfer. It sometimes it looks easier to say it doesn't. It's like we can't run like you can either. And so, hey,
people make things certain things are easy, like being an actor or an actress, you know, or playing football or playing basketball. Man, they make it look so easy. Playing golf, it looks easy to you have to do it. It's not that easy.
Eric Dickerson is our guest. In May of next year, he'll be inducted into the Texas High School Football Hall of Fame. I know you got to go because the event going on at SMU, your alma mater. Eric, what level of football did you enjoy the most?
I think probably high school and college, really. You know, the sad thing about the NFL, I loved it at first. I really did when I first got there. I mean, I just loved everything about it. But, you know, once you see the ugly side of the National Football League, it makes you really despise it. I mean, I hate to say that because it was a sport that I loved so, so much. But when you see how the NFL is, it really, you kind of become hard against it. And it was a sport I loved, and at the end, I hated it so much. And it wasn't a sport; I just hated how they treated players. And I just, but a high school and college, I'd have to go back to high school and college. I like that the best.
What are your thoughts about when you see that there was a trend of running backs who were kind of like overlooked and you could just pick anybody off the street? And now you've got Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, among others, that have given that position value again. It always had value, but it seemed like there was that trend. And what are your thoughts about how Zeke Elliott plays and runs for the Cowboys?
Well, first of all, Zeke's a guy that if you want a game where you got to run the ball inside, give me Zeke Elliott. I got to say, he's a guy that can run between the tackles. He can run outside, but he can most definitely run between the tackles and make it a long day for you. I really think that, you know, some of these reporters try to devalue the running back, you know, in a sense of saying, well, you don't need a running back. You know, you just throw the football. The quarterback is the most valuable player. Absolutely not. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, take Zeke off that team. Them Cowboys are not a good football team without him. You know, it's not a lot of great backs. That's what you don't realize. It's more bum quarterbacks. and to me, they are a lot of bum quarterbacks, but they feel like they have to pay them because they play the quarterback position. It's going to be no more than 4 to 5 to maybe 6 great backs, 5 probably great backs in the National Football League at one time. And the same with quarterbacks. It's going to probably be maybe 5, maybe 6, 7 great quarterbacks. The others are just average, and then at the tail end, they're just a bunch of bums. I mean, that's what they are. I mean, but they demand that $15 or $20 million just because, you know, they're quarterbacks and they play that position. Where a running back, you know, they try to devalue him. We can have anybody play that position. It's not true. I mean, the teams that's playing well in the National Football League, they run the football. Look at San Francisco, they run the football. Even the Patriots. I give Bill Belichick credit for one thing. What you give him, he will take. If you're going to give him the pass, he'll take the pass. If you're going to give him a run, he's going to run the football. In the Super Bowl, they beat us because they did what we should have been doing, running the football.
Mm-hmm. Eric, when you get to this podium, and we'll wrap it up with this, Eric Dickerson, our guest, and we appreciate the time you've given us. When you do get introduced next May, what will flash through your mind before you give your speech?
My parents, my mom and my dad, you know. My dad had a saying, you know, he didn't see me play much high school football. He passed away my junior year, and he always had a saying, and I live by his saying. He said, son, all that you do, do with your might. Things done by halves are never done right. And I played football 100%, even when I wasn't happy about certain situations. I still played hard.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate your time and your insight and your honesty. We appreciate it. Have a great day. Congratulations.
Thank you, too. Thank you.
That's Eric Dickerson.